hey, hello. Such a big hit, this new catchphrase intro. They have to bring it back.
Do you even do it on purpose?
I did this time, not the first time.
Okay. No. All right.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
Hello. We are here. We're recording a little introduction for this episode because I have returned.
You have returned triumphantly from the road.
From the road. Yep. I was out for about a week. But we have an extra pre-recorded episode that we had made in anticipation of this going longer.
Yep.
And so I figure, hey, there's a war brewing and all that stuff.
So sure.
Why not go ahead and dump this episode for you folks?
Yeah.
So we can stay in the present day.
There's a thing that we do, which is a problem, is that other people, and I know this because I've been on shows. I've been on other shows. They're like, this will come out in weeks. And I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? Tomorrow! You drop it tomorrow!
Keep the ball in the air. Right? Keep the plate spinning.
So there is a big point of like, if we don't release this episode now, there's a good chance it's never coming out.
That's my fear. That's exactly my fear. We're going to put out an episode on Friday.
Of course.
It probably will have to do with Alex in the present day.
Yep.
You know, like, because there's really serious
shit's going on.
And so, yeah, when would we ever put this out? We got to put it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
we have to put it out. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There is no bank. There's no banking.
No. So I'm back in Chicago.
Indeed.
Having seen the wonders of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried new spices. Not really.
Trying new spices in the like 1800s would have been mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
That would have gotten you a fucking royal commission to go back.
How do I explain nutmeg? What is it?
I'll tell you what, man. We've got a new thing going on in our house, spice wise.
What's that?
We're doing gochujang sauce, my man.
Oh, okay.
I've all about it.
I remember seeing that on a number of like weird Food Network shows. It feels like it was hot for a minute.
Yeah.
Like it was really, they had some good publicists.
Yeah. Now it's hot for forever in our house.
Nice.
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
A little bit spicy, a little bit savory, a little bit. It's one of those things.
Like ketchup.
It is like it hits all of those flavors or it hits all of the stuffs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you just, you're like, yeah, it's good.
I'm pretty sure I've had it before.
Probably.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm glad. Yeah. Do you have a new spice? That's not a spice, though, is it?
It's no, a sauce. It's not really a spice.
It's a condiment.
Yeah, that's
isn't
fair.
It? Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know.
I've not tried any new spices, but had a delightful time going around. And, I intended, I think, to maybe be gone a bit longer, but the lesson, you know, number of lessons learned. Technical limitations of the way I planned to record.
Sure.
There were holes in the canoe.
No plan survives getting punched in the mouth, my man.
Exactly.
That's how this works.
Exactly. And I got punched in the mouth by Santa Claus and by
Hitler Santa Claus. That'll punch you in the mouth.
And by sort of technological limitations.
Yeah.
But it was a great time, and I'm going to do it again probably fairly soon.
Yeah.
But I did have an experience that I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
And that is, I left Santa Claus, and I went to a little town called Friendship.
Right.
And I had a couple of wonderful experiences on the way to Friendship.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yes.
Okay.
One was that I was going down a country road, and I saw two dogs walking towards me on the other side of the road.
Okay.
They looked like they were talking. I can't tell. I was in a car.
Sure.
I'm not sure if they were talking.
You were on a spirit journey, so it's possible they could be the type of dogs that do speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They looked like they knew what they were doing, and they were doing it together.
Sure.
And I was going to Friendship, and I saw these dogs, and I thought, this is amazing.
That's
There's
metaphor.
Not a house in sight.
Nope.
They don't seem lost or scared or anything. They were having their own homeward
just
bound.
Just fucking red fern growing ass people.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So that got me in the spirit to go to Friendship.
Absolutely.
And then I end up having to stop for gas.
Mm.
And so I stop, and there is an impulse buy stand with characters from the new Super Mario Galaxy.
Sure.
Pez dispensers.
Okay, all right.
And there was a Donkey Kong.
Wow, Pez dispensers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned.
And so I kind of wanted to get a bunch of them because they're cool, fun Mario characters.
Sure.
But Donkey Kong is my best friend.
He is.
And so I thought, I'm going to Friendship. I'm getting a Donkey Kong Pez dispenser.
Done and done.
Hooray.
Yep.
I get to Friendship.
All right.
And
no Donkey Kongs allowed in Friendship. It's a big sign right on the right as you drive in.
And no dog friends.
Absolutely.
All dogs must
be
solo.
No dog friends. Solo dogs only.
No, so it could have so easily been another Santa Claus where I made a mistake.
Yes.
But I didn't. I knew I was just going to pass through, say hello to Friendship,
okay,
and be on my way because I'd learned the lesson of Santa Claus.
Right.
So I get to town.
Uh-huh.
Main drag of Friendship, Indiana. There's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Friendship." And then it's folded up by the wind. But there's another part underneath that says, if you look at it from the other side, it says, "Come a stranger, leave a friend."
Aww.
I thought this is nice.
Yeah.
So I decided to walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
Go find the Welcome to Friendship sign.
Right.
So I could take a picture with Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And so that's nice. And I pass Friendship School.
Mm.
I like, there's a Friendship School.
Nope, no good.
What fun. There's a Friendship Insurance. What, you could get friend insurance. If someone's ever mean to you.
Oh my God.
You can, get compensation.
You're right. I would move out of any town named a thing.
There's a Friendship Bank.
I'm out. If I was born and raised in Friendship, I would wake up every day going, I can't wait until I get the fuck out of this place so people will stop saying the word Friendship to me.
I was tickled by all of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around. I'm seeing this. I'm charmed by the weirdness and quirkiness of it all.
Yeah.
I take a turn on Friendship Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the main street is, but there's another street, Friendship Street.
Yeah.
I'm walking down it a little bit, and I see, like, okay, down the road, there's not much. This isn't going to be a long walk. But then I turn to the side, and I see a house, and on the porch, there are two Sambo statues. And
that's less friendly.
I look over to the other side, and I see a Confederate flag in a window. And I'm like...
Unfriendly.
No, 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 no.
Very unfriendly.
I got out of there. Friendship was ruined.
It's so funny. It is. I swear to you, it's so funny because after you said there are two Sambo statues, I was like, wait, are we saying that?
It was weird to see.
I bet.
And the thing that it made me think of is, like, you know, some people just kind of suck. There's going to be some suck people out there.
Sure.
But I think that this town kind of has a problem. If the neighbors aren't upset about that.
Yeah.
It was pretty in your face.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no way this is ironic.
Yeah.
Not that that would be okay.
I mean, to be very slightly, you know, broad about it, the Confederate flag maybe represents a falling apart of friendship. The inevitable, you know, the brother against brother, the lack of friendship.
You're right.
Yeah, it symbolizes the fractures
mm-hmm.
that are inherent within the possibility of friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason I wanted to tell you this story is because I think it characterizes a lot of, like, some of my smaller town experiences.
Oh, I thought you just wanted me to get rid of all of my Sambo statues.
That too.
Okay.
It's like, I think there's a certain charm and a quirk to, like, Friendship School and Friendship Insurance and all this. And then you walk down the street and you see racism just in your fucking face. And it's not something that, like, people, like, if I lived in that town, I would probably deface them or steal them and throw them out.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, people have just made peace with the fact that someone's got fucking racist statues on their porch.
You're right. What I'm hearing is that what we need to do, what we should have done, right? We were doing the desegregation thing. We're going to big schools in Alabama. They're being like, you can't get in here. And the other people are like, we got to get in here. You know what I'm saying? Now, imagine if we tried to solve segregation through novelty towns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course we're going to desegregate Friendship School. Are you trying to stop us from desegregating Friendship School?
If there is a what should be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
It's desegregating friendship school.
How do we not understand that? Like, the it has to be desegregated. Mm-hmm. If you're segregating friendship school, you're just out of your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And take that, George Wallace.
I don't want to say that my experience is largely that the world sucks more than I think it does.
Sure.
But there is a little bit of a trend of me coming into places like fairly optimistically and then seeing Nazi Santa and Confederate flags in friendship.
It is, you know? It is the time.
Yeah.
It is the time.
It's disillusioning a little bit.
Yeah.
In a way that also kind of feels like, well, you should have known that.
Sure.
I feel a little silly that I didn't expect to find this.
Right. 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 I mean, I imagine that there would be a very different experience backpacking through Germany in like 1925 versus 1935.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All in all, it was a nice time. And I, you know, wandered around, found things. Had a good time in woods and I can't wait to go again. But
perfect.
For now, I'm back and I have my memories of friendship. And
it is a wild juxtaposition: the freedom and joy you take in nature and in being outside and being present in the world, and also that you do what you do.
It's true.
This is crazy.
I think that the desolation and depressing kind of glimpse at humanity that Alex provides makes me yearn for something that is not that.
Right.
But then I also thought about something that is like a weird dynamic between you and I, which is I think that I never really want to be home.
Yeah.
And I think you want to be home.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it would be nice if I could just plan a bunch of shows and then have you on a screen. You know, you could like zoom in for a live show.
All right. All right. So you're saying that what you do is you're going to go out on the road and just find places and you'll just stop and be like, hey, we're going to barnstorm a show here tonight.
I'm going to go
on a barnstorming tour.
I'm going to go downtown in friendship and I'm going to bark. I'm going to try and get a crowd.
You better believe it.
Out flyers.
You should music man it. You should get other people to join you.
Yes.
Walking through the parade.
Yeah, but he was a con artist. I'm actually going to do a show.
Sure.
But they might not like the show.
Well.
So I'm scamming them into thinking they might like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that would be like, we could come up with some sort of format where I'm just wandering around and I force you to zoom in.
I could make up some excuse about how my legs simply no longer work.
Yes.
It's unfortunate.
Somebody who really wants this to happen might break your legs.
Yeah, that's true. I could become a floating torso, but then I would always be available.
Mm-hmm. So this is something to think about. Something to kick around in the head.
Possible.
For now, I'm glad to have a little taste of that and know that more is coming down the road.
Yeah. Well, I think I speak for everybody when I say I feel great for you.
Mm.
Excited for you to get back out there.
But for now, I'm glad to be back also, and it's great to be, great to be here.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with a normal-ass episode.
Ooh.
So fucking normal.
So normal.
On Friday, but for now, please enjoy this pre-recorded 2006 episode.
Not knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy, it's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan. Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, I don't know if it's March. We're recording this in advance. I don't know when this is going to come out.
We don't know if it's March right now.
It's typically March when we're recording. Right. So in honor of that tradition, I'm going to go ahead and go first.
Okay, all right.
And look, I don't want to talk about Survivor.
Okay, but you're going to talk about Survivor.
I fucking promise I don't want to just talk about Survivor in these bright spots.
But March is your Survivor month.
Yeah, March Madness for the island or something.
Ooh, that's not bad.
No, it wasn't
good. Well, I mean, it's not good.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I need to make a correction.
Sure.
And it is not about whether I've been too hard or too soft on Survivor.
All right.
It's that I realize something.
Yes.
You can't watch an episode of Survivor. It's not right of me to judge it week to week.
Sure.
There's a story that unfolds over the course of a season.
Yeah.
You can really only judge a season.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that my approach to this, like looking at it, being like, oh, look at this. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jeff Probst strapping is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
I'm not going to let him off the hook for
that. Please don't.
But looking at one episode and being like, "Oh, this something dumb happened," it's not fair. It's a book. I can't judge one chapter of it.
Yeah, evaluating chapter by chapter is usually no good.
Mm-hmm.
No good. On the other hand, part of that evaluating chapter by chapter is asking yourself the question: if you introduce a boomerang idol, do I care if it gets boomeranged? And if it doesn't, then I gotta go.
Yeah, but I, you know, thinking about it and worrying about it too much now isn't really productive.
That's fair.
We can judge that and we can assess it and we can talk about it in hindsight once the season is done.
When it's come back to us.
Yeah, and that's really what I want to say about myself.
Okay.
Call myself out for that.
All right.
I will always enjoy watching it even when the episodes are bad.
Sure.
Because I'm waiting to see what the season is. At the end of the season, I can say, that season kind of sucked. Or I can say, that season was good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not individual episodes. Not fair. I'm cutting myself off.
The only way to judge a life is in totality, Dan.
Right.
You can't wait until it has to be finished before you can say the final word.
Well,
I mean, I guess Hitler had... never mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. It's not a hard and fast rule.
Yeah.
It's a loose guideline.
Okay. So what's your bright spot, Hitler guy?
My bright spot was, yesterday, went out, my cousin and I, played a little tennis for the first time this year.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
What's your handicap?
Real bad.
Wait, does that exist in tennis or just golf?
I think they have a rating system. I think they have a rating system where it's like, oh, I'm a 4. You know how people do stuff like that.
You and your cousin don't keep score, right?
We play score. We keep score, but we don't keep score in the sense that I lose every time.
Mm.
Even if the score is good, the game tells you that I'm losing very hard.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's not a concern about the score,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But you know, it's the thing about the doing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's fun. Boy, this is the first year that it's like, man, I am old. Because we went out for the first time, and then today, my legs are jello. Just absolutely a mess down there.
Can I say something that's meant to be reassuring but actually makes it worse?
Sure.
You were younger than you're ever going to be again
Probably.
When you played that tennis
that
match.
That makes sense.
You will only be older.
That is true.
Oof.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can only judge a life in its totality.
Right.
Really.
Like a season of Survivor. You're beating up on some of these challenges.
It does really hammer home, like, there's some stuff I wish I hadn't done when I was a younger boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I wonder, like, what kind of, like, breakthroughs in physiology will happen that'll make people, their bones and their muscles not... deteriorate like ours are.
Oh man, I'm rooting for Exosuit. I'm rooting for Exosuit hardcore.
Well, I saw a white paper called Elysium.
Ooh.
That certainly
I'll take it.
And some Exosuits.
I will go full cyborg in a heartbeat. I am on record.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Jordan.
Yes.
Today we have a episode to go over.
All right.
We're gonna be in the past.
Okay.
We're gonna be continuing on through March 2006. Alex has just interviewed Charlie Sheen.
Right.
And also seen V for Vendetta, but not talked about it.
Man, that is some fucking Chekhov's gun failures right there. Mm. Like, that's brutal.
We started back in our, you know, jaunt in 2006 with a surprise about Slobodan Milosevic.
Yep.
And now we're in much deeper waters with Charlie Sheen and V for Vendetta.
Weirdly
and
enough.
Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
All of these hanging threads are like, we need resolution.
What a fucking Mad Libs-ass time period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just all the words that you've said are insane in the same
and
context.
And yet, somehow reassuring,
I guess.
Of cozy.
I mean, yeah. Weird.
So we'll talk about Alex's time on March 21st, 2006. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, from Cash Bylaw to any fellow former fans who may be out there, we are all love Blazeball. And to honor our hosts, we are from Chicago. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I dreamed I had to help Jordan with a complex heist to steal a Kurt Vonnegut book from a Games Done Quick event, while Dan did a speed run of Donkey Kong 64, and I don't know what this says about my psyche. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the Murder Ant episode of MacGyver haunted my childhood nightmares so bad. Thanks for bringing back those terrifying memories. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we had a technical credit in the mix,
ooh,
Jordan. So thank you so much to I am a trauma therapist under supervision, and I ask all of my clients at the end of their session what their bright spot was. I want you guys to know that you're affecting lives that don't even listen to Knowledge Fight. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's very nice to hear, but it's hard to cold read.
Mm, that is the struggle.
Yeah.
Heartfelt messages are tougher in the cold.
Yeah. I'm much easier to say something about me playing Donkey Kong 64 in your dreams.
Yep.
So we got some Charlie Sheen fallout going on. We got some Alex's basking in the rays
of famous people being near him.
Yep. But at the same time, he's also worried that Bush is about to attack Iran.
Wow.
President Bush had a press conference this morning. Bush defends decisions on Iraq war and says that it will be there at least through 08 into the next administration. And he says, look past the bloodshed and see freedom. So I want to go over some of these nauseating points that he's made. And he also yesterday warned Israel, excuse me, Freudian slip, warned Iran that if they don't do everything that Israel and others want, they're going to get attacked. And that if Israel does attack them, they better lie down and take it. If they fire back, that is just the ultimate evil, and America will have to attack them. Sounds good to me. Hey, we're going to attack you. You're going to lay there and take it. You understand? Good.
So the ultimate evil thing that the globalists and Bush, the thing that was going to be Bush's next step after the Iraq war, is the thing that Trump is doing in the present.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, this one was, I've been really dreading really having to relive exactly how stupid things were. And this really is like a good jumping off point for like, this is how stupid things were then, and now it's dumber.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumber than that. We have not learned.
It is way dumber.
It is way dumber. It's like a slap in the face of the concept of learning itself. Everything since you were a child was like, you're going to gradually improve at something just by virtue of redoing it over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not true.
No. Well, it's true in some things, but apparently not in all. And this isn't like kids these days kind of like old people grumping about how how everything's stupider now. It's us.
We are them.
Yes.
We're not like all these young kids. We're like, it's us.
Yes.
The call is coming from inside my brain.
My grandpa was right. We shouldn't have watched Jackass.
We shouldn't have.
Oh,
we
no.
shouldn't have.
So I think that, you know, obviously things are stupid now. But
sure.
like you're saying, things are stupid in 2006, too. Like Alex's mix of headlines.
One I didn't get into yesterday, China bans weird baby names. That's the incredible freedom of our good economic buddy that's deindustrializing us. But Iran's the threat, not China. China's just wonderful. They're good people. Back to Iraq, death squads on the prowl. Iraq convulsed by fear. And, of course, now it's been confirmed by Iraqi police.
Such a mix of subjects. We got Iraqi death squads and China's banning weird names.
And yet the tone of those makes it sound as though the weird baby names thing, that's the real threat here.
I think it's an easier story to cover.
Well, there's definitely that.
You can just tee off on that one. What's a weird name?
What is a weird name? All your names are weird to me.
I'm from Texas. Yeah.
Bah.
So, you got these kind of plates that are spinning.
Sure.
We got Bush is threatening Iran. China's threatening weird names.
Sure.
Iraqi death squads are threatening everybody.
The three most dangerous things in 2006.
But really more what's going on is that Alex is like, I fucking did it. I interviewed Charlie Sheen.
That sounds
right. He's a great man.
That sounds
right. And the neocons really just don't like him because he's not gay.
Our Charlie Sheen interview has been, of course, posted all over the internet, blogs, forums, everywhere. And all these neocons, the tiny little gun-grabbing anti-American minority they are the ultra-Soviet minority they are sending little threatening, little mean emails about, oh, Charlie Sheen, look, you know, he had trouble with women and drugs in the past, back in the 90s. So how dare him have any right to say anything? Your president is a DWI-admitted cokehead who kisses on and hugs on male prostitutes inside the press briefing room in front of everyone, and you all ignore it. He knows he can just do it in front of everybody, and they admittedly bus in gay porn stars. So at least Charlie Sheen back in the 90s, it was women. And he doesn't do that anymore. He's a homebody now. And listen, I talked to the guy. I was impressed. He knows all about 9/11. He's been listening to the show for years. And we had him on because it exposes 9/11. And I can't wait to write a response to these nut jobs. I mean, you guys are really pathetic. I know Jeff Gannon and all those other people. And I'm not just talking about Jeff Gannon. You understand the New York Post and others have reported, the San Francisco Chronicle, that literal jets land with $5,000 a day male prostitutes from all over America and Europe to go in there with your Christian conservative leaders and enjoy themselves. I mean, it makes Brokeback Mountain look like a tiddlywinks. I can't wait to write a response to this stuff.
Wait.
I mean, you guys are just unbelievable. Oh, when you're so Christian. You know, look at who Christ was out there working with. Look at who he was reforming. Look at who he was. You guys need to get the sticks out of your own eyes. Now maybe you'd like Sheen if it was men. I understand you're good Republicans, and I understand basically who runs the Republican Party, Drudge and all that crew. I mean, believe me, I fully understand. And so you're mad that Charlie likes girls, and it upsets you. It's very upsetting to you. Of course, this is my audience. It isn't even the neocons that are emailing me. I've just got to write all this up. Because it's just, you guys cannot deal with reality. You can't deal with anything. Go drink your Jack Daniels, and you're good, and everything's fine. Charlie Sheen doesn't even drink now. He's a teetotaler.
Yeah.
Who
knows?
Ugh.
That makes you think of that Tim Pool moment. He's drinking tea now.
Yeah.
He's drinking Topo Chico now.
Now.
Charlie Sheen may be sober now.
Now. Very important.
So recently, he put out a memoir. Charlie Sheen did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did it. Yeah.
And in interviews, he very famously talked about how he flipped the menu.
He did.
And had sex with men.
Yes.
So I don't. It's so funny for Alex to be like, at least he likes women.
I mean,
at least he's not gay like you Republicans.
What a.
And, he was. Charlie's an open-minded fella.
What a wild series of criticisms to think that they are criticisms. You know what I'm saying? Like, he thinks those are critiques as opposed to just saying homophobic things at a wall.
Yeah.
You know?
No, not to a wall. To his imagination of the people who are emailing him.
Right. Right.
He's using his radio show to respond to these emails that may or may not exist.
Which is a very healthy attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see that and I say, what if that man had access to social media, I think he's going to do great with it.
Yeah, he's not going to fall into
holes. I think
he's
going to be really responsible about it, too.
Yeah. So, Alex is largely just kind of, I am cool. I interviewed famous specifically heterosexual man, Charlie Sheen.
Very much so.
And the neocons of the New World Order are just really upset. And I think all of you New World Order people are cowards.
Nope.
They love it. I've had neocons say, I want to take a chip. I want one to prove I'm good. They want to put all the Arabs in camps, all the Muslims in camps. They want to live in a police state because they're cowards. Because deep down, they know the New World Order's coming down, so they've made a psychological decision to rationalize everything.
But Alex believes that a New World Order is coming down, too. He just thinks that it could be a different New World Order.
Yeah.
This doesn't match.
When
I talk about in 2026 him saying, like, we're having a new World Order, this is part of the reason why it doesn't work for him. This is part of his history.
That clip sounds like a bullet fired from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is, that is like, what else do you need to hear, man?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, buddy. Listen to yourself.
Call yourself a coward.
Yeah. Listen to yourself. This is you talking to you.
Yeah. So we get back to the subject of Charlie Sheen and his sexual proclivities.
Sure. Which is absolutely great.
That's scary. And they can't even admit that to themselves. They're not going to admit homosexual prostitutes in the White House past midnight 50-something times with other male prostitutes with them. These aren't male prostitutes for the women, boys and girls. This is for the neocons, those disgusting fat old men in there, or little twerply men doing all the things they do. It
just, 2006,
it just makes
How about
me
it?
Sick. It makes me want to throw up. And, you know, I'm not saying the things that Charlie Sheen's done is good, but my gosh, being 25 years old and liking racy women, if that's the case, then King David, the man after God's own heart, is in deep trouble. He had people killed for their women, and God forgave him. But you can't forgive Charlie Sheen, can you?
Wait.
Last time I checked, he isn't killing people for their women. He just likes them. And what hypocrites are you out there to tell yourselves just because you've never acted on impulses, and that's good, that you don't like women?
Come on, man. He likes women.
I am feeling very confused.
Well, let me help if you have any questions.
All right. So I feel like a ranking is being made here, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, number one, Jesus without sin.
Right.
You know, obviously that's tops, right? Number two, fucking a lady under inauspicious circumstances illegally.
Are we talking about a racy lady?
I think that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Right? Number two, right? Number three, I believe murdering men to steal their women.
So we're talking King David is right. Below Charlie Sheen.
And then number four is just being attracted to a man in some form or fashion.
That is certainly less forgivable for Alex.
It feels like that's where we're at right here.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with King David.
Sure.
An essential piece of his story is the repentance.
Yeah, that is pretty important.
You know, like, God would not have thought him of his, like, after his own heart.
Sure.
If he had done all that shit and then been like, I also have tiger blood, and I'm winning.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be a problem for God, I think.
Well, I mean, it's also helpful for us, for everybody who knew David and David himself to be dead,
mm-hmm.
right? Then we don't have to bring any of our own complicated moral baggage to it at all. Like, that guy, it's too late for me to care now.
Yeah.
Right?
David's sitcom was terrible.
That wasn't very good. They said he was a good singer. Couldn't talk for shit.
Yeah. I think that there is just some thing going on where Alex is just like, look, yeah, he's bad, but he talked to me, and he's not gay.
Yep, that is exactly. I mean, it is amazing.
Low bar.
It is so hard to like really, and I think it happens to everybody. It happens to every generation. It happens to everybody. It is so hard to remember some of the most banal things. But the worst part of remembering banal things is when banal things were exactly how homophobic everyone was.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to remember because it wasn't exciting or new or in anything. It was so boring and banal how everybody was just like, oh, being gay is wrong all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that it's not what Alex wants to present as was normal then.
Right. Right.
Like, these are like the things that he could get away with and were normal of the time.
Yeah.
And now he wants to be like, hey, if people are gay, I'm totally fine with it. I'm totally cool with it.
No big deal. What you do in your bedroom is your own business.
Right. And that's not the case. That's never been his perspective. It's just that social progress made it to a certain point where it was no longer acceptable for him to act like this.
Yeah.
Without being accurately labeled as the hateful person that he is.
Yeah, and it is like this is judged, and it should be judged, and it's also like, but at the time you have to remember that Obama got elected and they were like, hey, should gay people be married? And he's like, I'm thinking about it.
Right.
I'm thinking about it.
Right. It was the air that we all breathed in, and
we were all part of culture.
All felt like that was what was normal.
Yep.
And I think that you can look back at people and their actions and have criticisms of them.
Sure.
But if they've changed, it also, that makes things different.
Absolutely.
And Alex hasn't changed.
Exactly.
Except for hiding these beliefs behind even worse ones.
Yep.
So that's the real problem.
Yeah, he's the view by which we can judge the past, but he himself is a piece of shit throughout all time.
Yes, the platonic ideal of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So Alex, I think one of the like real strong feelings he has this day is he did not get enough attention for the Charlie Sheen interview.
He wanted more.
Oh yeah, it should have been bigger.
Ugh.
You know, I get a call from Charlie last week. Check, it is Charlie Sheen. Talked to him three or four times, sometimes an hour and a half at a time. He wants to come on. He wants to stand up. The only place he felt safe, he said, to come out and speak, where he wouldn't be taken out of context. And I said, Charlie, you know, you're so on target with this that they'll probably, there's a good chance they'll ignore it because it'll be so mainline and the facts you lay out will be so documented that they can't attack you. This isn't something dirty to say about you. I predicted that there'd be a predominant blackout in the mainstream media on this. And other people are like, oh, no way, man. I mean, if a Hollywood person falls off their bicycle, it's top news, especially Charlie Sheen. I said, just watch. And then we get a call from AP. We're talking to them. They're going to do a story.
We're hiding the interview.
Nothing happens. We call AP out in L.A., talk to their head guy out there. Jeff Williams, I believe is the name, left the notes at the home office. I brought those with me. Yeah, it's Jeff Williams. And he's just real, yeah, Alex, what do you want? Just real tough guy. You got that whole M.O. about him. Wonder if he's seen some tours in Southeast Asia. Wonder what he's been up to. But important.
Wait, what?
There at AP in Los Angeles over the Propaganda Bureau. Seemed like an experienced fellow. And I'm like, you guys aren't going to run this story? And he goes, no, we're not. I know all about Charlie Sheen, and I personally don't care what he says. And I go, oh, but is it newsworthy, Mr. Williams? Your very AP office put out the Santana story. Carlos Santana, just with a milquetoast statement, I said a tame statement about, you know, he disagrees with the war and then he's into peace and love, a different philosophy than Bush. He said, oh, whatever. And I said, well, I need to quote you on this. Are you saying this isn't newsworthy? And he said, we're not going to run anything. And I said, is it newsworthy to have Charlie Sheen saying Bush is arrogant? Wouldn't you normally run that if it wasn't attached to all this 9/11 information? And he said, you're not going to bait me, and slam the phone down. You're not going to bait me. Clang. And then I called back, a woman answered. She's like, they must have odd X or, you know, phone number. She's like, yes. And I go, what's your name? I'm Alex Jones. She goes, I'm not going to talk to you. I'll send you back to Mr. Williams. And I'm like, don't you think this is newsworthy? Don't you think Charlie Sheen is newsworthy? I mean, regardless of what you think of him personally, isn't this newsworthy? And she hung up. And I said, all right, baby, to my wife who's sitting by me at her terminal. I said, I'm going to call the Hollywood Reporter.
So what's going on here is that Alex doesn't understand how entertainment reporting works. Celebrities, particularly ones who do a lot of live performances, say a ton of crazy shit, and media outlets aren't going to just report on all of it. some things get recorded, and they're just inevitable to become public conversations, like when Michael Richards had his racist meltdown at the Laugh Factory. There's no way to get around that getting talked about.
Nope.
But other stuff, what you might call more marginal comments, generally get reported on or not based on, like, publicists. On its own, Charlie Sheen says he said something weird. That isn't a story that's going to sell itself to an outlet. And Charlie's publicity team isn't going to get behind promoting his appearance on Alex's show. Conversely, Santana's reps are obviously doing their job and helping push the story about him being anti-Bush because that's his brand.
Yeah.
And this is a puff piece kind of thing in the entertainment papers.
Yep.
Entertainment news isn't the same as news news, and unfortunately, Alex doesn't really understand how either works. Charlie Sheen being on InfoWars and saying that he doesn't trust the mainstream narrative about 9/11 isn't newsworthy in terms of the real world or what you'd put in the main sections of the newspaper. It arguably could be newsworthy for places like TMZ that do celebrity gossip. But the problem is that at this point in 2006, Charlie's on a top-rated network sitcom, and his reps are interested in keeping things that way. He's a guy with a rocky, troubled past who the tabloids love talking about, so if anything, there's a good chance that Charlie's publicity team is working against Alex in terms of trying to keep this interview lower profile. Alex's phone call stories, those aren't true, but they do depict something that is real, which is that he's a bad publicist.
Yep.
He doesn't understand.
I mean, I get that he's a psycho, right? So he doesn't understand this. But to me, if I'm like at all personally speaking to Charlie Sheen himself saying something along the lines of like, I would like it so people didn't take me out of context and all of this stuff, right? To then like shop around that he was on your show to other venue to other places to try and get them to literally take him out of context.
Yeah, so I called the Hollywood Reporter.
Right, exactly. Like, how are you not selling out your friend?
This is exactly the same sort of behavior as after Charlie had his freak out 5 years later, Alex going on The View.
Yep.
Doing the media rounds that he could do in
See,
order
this
to associate
is, I can
himself.
Sell this.
Yes.
Yep.
He's a bad person.
He's a bad person.
He's being homophobic abstractly and then also just trying to exploit this person.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, there's something of a morality play to his entire life. Everything he does is something of a Punch and Judy show where it's like at the end of it, kids should go, and now we don't do that, right? That's how this goes. You treat your friends better than that.
Yeah. God, it just doesn't... You know, the consequences aren't automatic, it turns out.
No,
you know?
That's like, the problem. That's the problem with, you know, we're capable of thought, but animals learn by very quick consequences.
Yeah, And I think that everyone is so wrapped up in appearances, especially these days now, like...
Sure.
That the and even, well, I say these days, extending away.
Sure,
back,
yeah.
People were really caught up in the idea of what they thought Alex was,
yeah.
And they got bit. By treating him like he was that,
yep.
As opposed to what he actually is.
Yep.
And that, I think, is the one of the large themes of the Charlie Sheen and Alex play.
You know, to bring it back to Alex's territory, it's almost like that by the fruits of their actions mm-hmm. and not the way it looks.
Right.
You know, maybe, I don't know if somebody said something about that a while back.
William Shakespeare. How did he pronounce it? There's a Shakespeare mispronunciation that I can't remember now. Anyway, no one cares about this Charlie Sheen interview,
nope.
And it's bumming Alex out.
Yeah.
It's just such an illustration of what we face and what we deal with, and that's why it's up to you to spread the word on the stories we put out. If you don't do it, nobody will. If you don't report, no one will. It is so vitally important that you report, that you get the word out, that you email your friends, that you email your family, that you call the Associated Press all over this country, every office, that you got one in your town if it's a good-sized city, and you call them and you say, hey, and most of these people are nice, most of them are on some government payroll, and say, isn't that newsworthy that Charlie Sheen is, especially Charlie Sheen, but see, what everything he said was so credible.
See, it's very transparent, the message that Alex has here, that is, no one's interested in the story that I'm trying to push, so I need you to make it marketable.
Yep.
I need you to be my street team, push everything out, get me publicity.
Mm-hmm.
create the appearance of demand so these papers will publish a story about him being on my show.
Yep.
And I think if people could see through that back then, it would have solved us a lot of headache.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because sometimes you're like, oh, gatekeepers shouldn't have control over things. But then other times you're like, maybe I'm just a piece of shit trying to trick a bunch of people into calling a newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think gatekeepers get a bad rap. I on one hand. On the other hand, they don't.
Right.
I think
the danger of being a gatekeeper.
Yeah, I think some gatekeeper, I especially think maybe in terms of entertainment gossip news, maybe that's fine if there's a gate.
Maybe
there.
We need a bigger gate around all of it. Yeah. Maybe entertainment gossip news needs a gigantic gate.
Maybe it was always stupid. I don't know.
No, we can never engage with the thought maybe it was always stupid. Mm-hmm. Then it goes out of control.
Yeah. So a lot of this episode, I'll be honest, not really worth listening to because it is just repeating Alex's feelings about how he should be cooler for talking to Charlie Sheen. And then also there's calls. That's the other part of the show.
Right, right, right.
He takes calls.
Calls about how he should be more famous for talking to Charlie Sheen.
Some of them. And then some of them kind of go off the rails a little bit.
All right.
All right. Chris in New Hampshire, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're on fire today, Alex. I just want to say thank you very much. And om baka laka chumba siya chumba ya chumba. What?
That's funny, sir. And that's, I'm not quite sure what that means.
Om Shanti.
Pardon me? What does that mean?
Om Shanti.
Let him go. So many people have been, I don't know if he's been destroyed psychologically, but they
probably
have. So many young people I talk to are either awake or it's just giggle at everything. And then act a fool and somehow everything will be all right. And maybe that's the response. Maybe that's good, sir.
I don't know exactly what that guy was doing, but I believe he was saying Om Shanti.
Yeah.
Which is like a prayer to Shanti,
yeah,
of like a peace.
Yeah, he's doing a thing.
I think.
Yeah.
It's not the youth, their minds being destroyed. It's a cultural thing that Alex is, I think he thinks someone speaking like Hindi is a demon.
That's what I was thinking. I was trying to process what the world, because obviously the world is not this. But what if Alex's points of view were the only two available to you?
Mm.
The mind is destroyed of the youth, which means that this is the type of behavior that comes from destroyed minds.
Yeah.
Right? Which means I should be seeing something like this a lot more if the entire youth has had their mind destroyed.
They're all going around praying to Shanti.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see that very often at all. Right? The other option is that they're just giggling at everything.
I wasn't giggling.
Which I don't even know if that's... Is that a thing? Is that a character trait?
Demons love to laugh.
They're just having a grand old time. So why are you mad?
And why are you so insistent that comedy be illegal?
Mm.
If demons are all out there giggling...
That's a good point.
Then if comedy is legal and everybody can make jokes...
Yeah.
It would be so much harder to tell the difference between demons and humans.
Did we ever get to the bottom of whether or not the devil invented comedy?
Was this on the table?
I thought that was the first question. Like, where does God come from? Second, is it the devil who gave us comedy?
I hate to say this as someone who likes to be funny.
Yeah.
And I think... you know, I'd spend a lot of time doing comedy.
Sure.
I think in God's perfect world...
No comedy?
It's not necessary. A lot of comedy has to do with observations,
sure,
and things that are weird and not,
sure,
how they should be.
Right.
And like, I don't think in heaven that would exist.
I mean, the argument could be made that comedy is in and of itself a form of processing suffering.
Yeah.
And that therefore, should there be no suffering, there would be nothing funny to exist.
So I do think that you could make an argument that comedy is of the devil.
I think we have to admit it right now. All comedians are Satanists.
Yep.
Yep.
Rogan. Just Rogan.
Just fucking Rogan.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think that this conversation is dumb and fun on one level, but certainly not prescriptive of anything.
I mean, it wasn't as elucidating as maybe that call was.
No.
No.
I liked it.
I kind of did too.
Whenever I'm listening to these episodes, something like that really breaks things up. So Alex takes another call, and this guy is trying to justify why it's cool that Alex uses celebrity to get his message across.
Okay, good.
At the end of the day, I mean, the elite love using celebrities like Bon Jovi and the Sugar Babes, you know, when they're shilling for globalism.
Oh, yeah, they've sold us that's all that matters. But then they try to switch gears and say, when one of these people gets out of line, oh, no, it doesn't matter. They try to slap them back down.
That's exactly right. It's total hypocrisy. I mean, somebody like Charlie Sheen, he was very informed. I had no idea he knew that much, to be honest.
Oh, he knows a lot more than what you heard.
So this caller's point kind of reveals the shallowness of Alex's philosophy, because he's willing to give up on a good point. They have a good point that celebrities are used to promote causes that they may or may not actually care about themselves. Pretending that a celebrity endorsing something or promoting a cause, automatically giving that thing credibility, pretending that's the case is dumb. And Alex is right when he criticizes that. Climate change isn't a cause worth caring about because Bono says it is. It's just a worthy cause, regardless of who's giving the message. Bono may be totally sincere in his convictions, but that really doesn't matter that much. He's using the star power that he gained from U2 and directing it towards a social cause, which Alex isn't supposed to like, and he's very clear that he does not like. The way they're dealing with the Charlie Sheen interview and the way this caller is approaching the subject has a tendency to reveal that they aren't actually upset about celebrities preaching about stuff they have no business lecturing the public on. It's just conditional. If Bono was saying that we needed to shut down all immigration, they'd hail him as a hero. This makes it too clear that when they complain about how our culture is too caught up in celebrity worship, their criticism isn't that. They're ready and willing to use celebrities in exactly the same way when the celebrity is saying what they want them to. Why are we listening to Bono is a compelling argument for a guy like Alex to make, but if you pay attention and understand what Alex is actually saying, he's really just complaining that more famous people don't agree with him, and he's forced to pretend lunatics like Ted Nugent and Mel Gibson's dad are relevant celebrities. And Charlie Sheen is the best he can do,
yeah.
I guess. But that's he's mad that celebrity culture doesn't bend in his direction.
Yeah, it is interesting because obviously you can look at that as a good faith talk about celebrity culture, but it feels like what he's really saying is that I'm the only real celebrity, right? Mm. So the only celebrity culture that matters to me is whenever people tell me how much I'm great, how great I am. Everything is an extension of how great I am. So if
my definition of celebrity is being in sync with the thing that I am.
Right. Right, right. My definition of celebrity is seeing myself reflected in bigger lights.
It's not true that that's the only barometer, because Charlie Sheen is also famous.
Sure, sure, sure.
You also need the person to be famous.
Right. No, but that's what makes him a celebrity, right?
Yeah.
If the celebrity agrees with him, he is the celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
That's how his brain works. He can't process that. And if a celebrity disagrees with him, then he is not a celebrity anymore.
Well, sort of. But I think more accurately, it's if there is a celebrity who says the same shit that Alex says, he's a free thinker.
Yes.
And he has a point of view and insight, and he's done his research.
Because I like me.
If there is a celebrity who says something different, they're a brainwashed stooge of the Illuminati who are just using celebrities to push their message.
Because I don't like not me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's more what it is. It's there's a credibility that comes with you believe the exact same thing that I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas so you should just reject all of it as like celebrity. Yeah, maybe
it's meaningless.
Maybe what they're into is a good message. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Who cares about them? Just reject all celebrity shit and you'd have a lot firmer ground to stand on.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like it's like how people talk about their dogs, you know, like when you're talking about your dog, a lot of the times you're really talking about yourself.
Sure.
When you're talking about celebrities, you're complaining about yourself.
Yeah. You're complaining about the mirror that you see from that culture.
Yeah.
So we get another caller.
All right.
And this guy brings up a rather unfortunate point.
Shanti?
Hi, Alex. Nobody deserves more commendation than you, Alex. You're the guy risking everything every day. With respect to Charlie Sheen, I am curious, though. Weren't they Clinton supporters?
Yes, but I've talked to... I mean, Charlie really wasn't political then, and he's a gun owner, and he's more conservative than his father, I would venture to say.
Okay.
Okay. It's cool. I mean, you know, obviously more conservative than Martin Sheen.
Sure, sure.
Martin Sheen's pretty progressive, liberal, whatever.
Whatever
he's
you like.
He's a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
I do think that this caller has a relevant concern.
Sure.
And Alex hand waves it.
Yeah.
And the guy accepts that.
Yeah. Hey, doesn't this guy represent the things that we don't represent and think are actively evil? On the other hand, he's famous. Fair enough. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I guess we'll move on. The proceedings can continue.
Yeah. So Alex interviews a guy who's a beef guy.
He's just a beef guy?
He's a beef guy.
He's just a guy.
From Texas, Missouri. He's a beef man.
He's a beef man from the two beefiest state names that you can have.
Definitely. Well, yeah. But Texas is a city in Missouri.
Right. I understand that.
Missourians, we do that a lot. We steal names for cities. But yeah, he's
too creative, the people from Missouri.
He loves beef.
Yep.
He's a cattleman.
Yep.
He ends up running unsuccessfully in a Republican congressional primary later down the road, but he has no political aspirations at this point. He just loves beef.
Just fucking loves that shit.
And his interview is dull.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it because he just loves beef.
Of course it's dull.
Yeah. Beef.
Does he like beef?
Loves it.
Okay, well then I think we've got everything we need to know. Next question, Your Honor.
What's for dinner?
I'm going to go with chicken.
No.
Oh.
Beef.
Ah.
It's what's for dinner.
Oh,
that was
okay.
The fucking slogan.
I'd never heard that slogan.
What?
Before. I'm just fucking...
Where's the beef? So, Alex does have another interview.
Yeah.
On this episode.
Sure.
And it's with his water filter sponsor.
You're getting what distributors who buy hundreds are getting them for. Okay, they do that because they believe in the program. They're patriots. They are against the New World Order. Jim Shepard is a great Christian man, the owner. And with the Iran situation coming up, when is this a better time? And when is there a better time? With Israel saying they may attack them any minute, and Bush saying they're going to back them up, and Iran saying we're going to destroy you. I mean, look, scaring you gets you to buy filters, fine. I'm telling you, that's not even the threat. The threat is what is already in your water.
Yeah, a little too clear there.
Hey, scaring you to buy water filters. It works.
It works.
Why wouldn't I do it?
Look, it's what you should do anyway, but yeah, I'm scaring you into buying this.
Listen.
I believe that you should do it anyway, but I'm not above using scary tactics.
I know what's best for you, and if you won't choose it just because of a good argument, I will lie and cheat and trick you.
And I will tell you
that...
What I believe is best for you tends to be what people are paying me to sell you.
It is crazy how that works.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Mm. But that's just a coincidence.
It is.
It is just pure happenstance that those two things occur at the same time.
It's just a representation of how Alex will only make money off things that actually help you.
Yeah.
Much like, you know, it's fucking weird, but everything Trump does is in America's best interest.
It is crazy how it works.
Yeah,
it is, and it's good for us.
Yeah,
that our interests align. Because I mean, from what I've seen, people whose interests don't align with him not having a good time right now.
There's some troubles.
Yeah.
So this interview is a dud because this lady that he's interviewing is the person who like answers the calls at Big Berkey or whatever. So not. Not necessarily a super like on-air talent.
Right.
Certainly a drop-off from Charlie Sheen.
Sure.
But there's one thing that I know Alex has always said that Big Berkey, the filters, what they do, and that is take fluoride out of the water.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately.
You are joking.
He brings that up, and she has to correct him.
You are joking.
That they do not.
Motherfucker.
Now, does my memory serve me? Your regular filtration gets 80%+ out, and then when you add the post-filter, only 99%?
It takes out about 99%.
Okay.
The actual Black Berkey filters don't take any of the fluoride out, Alex. It's just with the, you need to have the post filter.
Okay, so is it the white ones that do that? I remember reading the literature.
No, it was a long time ago. We had the very first set of filters. We tried doing a formulation where the filters did take out some of the fluoride with the black filters, but unfortunately.
Oh, it was too slow.
It was so slow, and people would have had to replace the filters so quickly. It would have been very costly.
So people understand this, what we're talking about. Everybody talks about spring water being so good or down in these caves. That's because it's gone through the limestone.
That's correct.
And this was invented in England.
Great. So The post filter gets rid of the fluoride and the water. The filters themselves don't do that.
Right.
So Alex has, in theory, sold so many people water filters under the premise that it gets rid of fluoride,
yep,
and they're just drinking as much fluoride.
Yep.
They never would have even known.
Nope.
Because it's solving a non-existent problem.
Yep.
For I would say almost, if not all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so great.
Yeah, it is. Here's what's interesting about it, right? This is what's interesting to me about this is statistically or inevitably, right? We know some people are going to get scammed.
Mm.
If there is going to be a scam, this is the type that you would prefer, which is a scam where it's like, hey, you got scammed, but there's no negative consequences, really,
yeah,
other than you're talking to this guy, right?
Yeah, he's profiting, but
yeah,
maybe it's fine to have a water filter.
Maybe you get a marginal benefit. You probably didn't get your money's worth, obviously.
Assumedly, it didn't put lead into your
exactly.
water.
Exactly.
So, like,
right.
Sure.
Right. This is what I'm saying. This is like the twin scams we've got going on right now. I'm fine with people getting scammed for no consequences, but then they get scammed by somebody like Trump, and it's like, ah, see, that's the scam that we all get fucked on.
Yeah, there's severe consequences to that, whereas
right.
making people, like, you probably ruin individual lives in ways that we tragically never hear about.
Sure.
With, like, making people think they need to get gold because the dollar is going to collapse. And
absolutely.
Get all these water filters because you're poisoning yourself with the water and the fluoride.
Yeah.
There's probably a great deal of people who have been harmed. Their children had to live with the consequences of
sure.
that. And so it's not that there is no victim.
Mm-mm.
But it's societally somewhat more manageable than the harm
yeah.
that the Trump scam does.
There's a lot more what is it? Shrapnel damage.
Yeah.
There's a lot more shrapnel damage.
And sometimes if you grow up and you're, you know, maybe your parent succumbed to some of these brain tendencies.
Yep.
Maybe you grow up and you write an amazing novel.
It's always possible.
Right?
It's always possible.
Some people can get out. They can
escape.
Some
people can. Yeah.
The consequences and the shrapnel that you're talking about.
Right.
But with Trump, it's far less escapable.
No good.
So anyway, it's funny that his filters don't take out fluoride when that's the biggest sales pitch that he makes constantly.
It's so infuriating.
And I think the difference that you see here
mm-hmm.
is that she knows she would probably get fired and or sued
yeah.
if she makes false claims about these
yep.
filters, whereas Alex can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what's true? Don't care. I know you're the literal representative. You are the mouthpiece of the company telling me that I am lying to these people.
So in the moment, we're not going to say that it takes out fluoride.
No.
And I'm going to start talking about how this was invented in England.
Brilliant.
And limestone and whatever. But later when you're gone.
30 seconds after you're
gone.
I'm
going to go back.
It gets rid of all the fluoride. Even if they ask me about it, I'll say that you're not allowed to quote unquote wink, 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 say it.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have one last clip here, and it's it's mostly because Alex is very just obsessed with the traffic and the Charlie
yeah.
Sheen of it all.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit mad at Drudge because Drudge isn't promoting this enough.
Oh, motherfuckers.
The Charlie Sheen story got tens. Well, that's not true. I was told 8 million page views yesterday on the two sites together in the aggregate. And I would imagine now, that's how my brain works, that since I checked that this morning, a couple more million have come in, but it's slowed down to, what'd they say, a few hundred thousand for each website that has it posted every hour. So I guess it's getting up close to 9 million or something. But again, I haven't checked. 8 million page views. And of course, most of that is because Drudge linked to it for 4 hours. Most of that came in 4 hours. And that site just gets, I forget, what is it, like 20 million visitors a day? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how much that site gets because there's not many stories on it and it gets such huge traffic. And so if your story's up there and like all these other news hounds and all these other people that are too lazy to check their inboxes, that's where the really good news is that listeners send you from all
over.
Real
good news.
They go up to Drudge every day. And he posts it up there and then jerks it out for 4 hours and then doesn't put it in his archive. He never does that. So email Drudge and say, Drudge, why didn't you post that story? Why aren't you covering it? Why aren't you reporting on it? Call the Associated Press. I talked to AP reporters who were, yeah, this is big. Well, we're going to get this out. And you call them back, oh, we're not running it now. Well, just upstairs said no.
I don't know if what Alex is saying about Drudge is true, but we'll just take it as...
Fine.
Yeah, I'll just stipulate
it's
he's...
20 years ago. Yeah.
I think it's entirely possible that Charlie Sheen's management and PR people were able to soften the coverage of his InfoWars interview.
Yeah.
The whole Dixie Chicks thing happened in 2003, and in 2006, Charlie is on one of the highest-rated sitcoms on TV, so his team would probably be very interested in him not being the target of that kind of attention during a war where people will turn on you like they did the chicks.
You don't know what could happen. You just don't know. People are crazy.
I also think that this would be an easy sell for a PR team because it's not really that good of a story. For most people, Charlie Sheen is already a figure that they kind of think is crazy. So if he says something crazy, that isn't exciting. Like, his character is based on him kind of being crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is who he is.
Yeah.
If you want a tabloid gossip magazine selling headline, you need someone who has a squeaky clean image saying something crazy. Like, if Kelly Clarkson came out and questioned 9/11, then maybe we're talking about some, like... people are going to talk about it.
That actually was the subplot to From Justin to Kelly.
No, Guarini pilled her. Guarini red-pilled her on QAnon.
So the From Justin to Kelly was the bullshit into Kelly's brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I've seen that movie. 5 times,
I know you
maybe?
Have. I know you have.
It came out when I worked at a movie theater.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
For Charlie Sheen, the only thing that's going to get the tabloids interested in is something that involves his own self-destruction, as we end up seeing 5 years later.
Right.
Him doing an interview with Alex is a gigantic career-defining moment for Alex, but it's a blip in other media. No one really cares.
No.
Because Charlie's a known commodity. It's not that interesting.
Yeah.
Who cares? His PR people can push back against any momentum that Alex is even pushing that would get him the Dixie Chicks treatment.
Yeah.
So, I think he's up against his own, it's a Sisyphean task trying to get publicity for this.
I think I'm trapped in a thought, and I don't know. All right. When Alex says, call the Associated Press, do you believe that in Alex's mind he is telling people to call AP? Or do you believe he is telling people to call all reporters across the world?
I think he thinks of it like calling the Rangers.
Right?
You know, like,
is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like go talk to the Associated Press. No. Go talk to the Associated Press members, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, go out into the street with a lantern and a bell.
Yep.
I feel two things very strongly. Mm. The first is that Alex is clearly so desperately attached to numbers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you were saying earlier, oh, this is someone who's going to have a problem with social media.
Yep.
The way he's talking about the millions of
8 million aggregate by two
and
sites.
And I assume, based on checking it earlier, that's somebody who's their brain is going to be fucked by the attention and the numbers of social media.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you just see is, it's pretty obvious this didn't go as well as he wanted it to.
Yep.
He expected something bigger, and because it has not made the splash that he needs it to, the story has to become that he's being silenced.
Yep.
And everyone's covering up this story of the biggest story in the world where Charlie Sheen talked to me.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, it is. It is such a, you can tell that it's the opposite direction. For me, it's I wouldn't care. I would be like, hey, is this interview good or bad?
Mm.
Right? I don't care if a lot of people saw it. And if it was bad and a lot of people saw it, that's worse to me than not doing it.
Yeah.
Right? But for him, it's just, what numbers does it get? The interview can have good or negative quality. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a vehicle for the attention.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, it was neither good nor bad. It just was a fine
interview. It was just a promotional interview, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, like if I had my druthers.
Yeah. Your drudgers?
I would love for the Associated Press to report that Alex was promoting 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
That, I think, would be funny.
That would be funny.
Because that would really harm his reputation as somebody who's like, I'm this mad preacher out in the wilderness. I believe in the Constitution. You're shilling for CBS, asshole.
Alex stops telling truth for a second to ask you to watch 2.5 Men.
To ingratiate himself with celebrity guest. Yeah, like that would be funny if that
Alex
was the
Alex finally
headline.
Lies, says 2.5 Men is funny.
That's not fair. I'm sure there are some good episodes. You have to take it on a season-by-season basis.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You have to
judge
it's
individual
the totality,
episodes
yeah.
of 2.5 Men.
You're right. Now that we have reached the end of... We haven't, have we? They're probably doing a new one right now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I think that this brings into focus is like... There's a weird thing in Alex's career that has been desperately hijacking other things.
Yeah.
And you can feel it in this, like, Drudge. I got all this traffic from Drudge. Then Drudge took the article down. He really needs Drudge to drive traffic to it.
Yep, yep.
And then later it becomes YouTube. And then it becomes Twitter. And, you know, as we get closer to a hypothetical, like, his shit's going to get shut down, he's not going to have anything there's nothing.
No, he's not going to be able to piggyback or parasite his way onto anything.
Well, no, but the thing that he needs to suck life to is going to be gone.
Right.
Like, he's just going to be a guy who has a Twitter account.
Yep.
And that's weird.
I mean, it makes sense why he's drinking again.
I think he probably has been. But, like... I think that there's, like, he's always existed as a guy who has a need to draw attention to at least the thing he has created himself.
Yeah.
He has had Infowars.com and Prison Planet and the documentaries and, you know, like, he's had his landing thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, you send the little ships out to drive traffic back to. And that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
He is only going to exist as the parasitic
thing. He's
going to
be a free-floating brain parasite.
Yeah.
God forbid any of it. Like a fucking brain slug in Futurama.
And I guess...
Let him fall on the floor and he'll starve to death.
I guess on some level, that's interesting. To see like what that will look like.
Yeah.
When the actual mothership is no longer really important.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's that interesting.
That's the thing, is that it's... It is an inflection point, and one that should cause a crisis that someone should either be destroyed by or should grow through. It bothers me with Alex is that it seems like he is facing all of the crises in his entire career and has never been destroyed nor grown through them.
No.
They just wrap around him and become our problem.
And I mean, on some level, that's why there's so many episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
It's a remarkable thing that no one else seems to have lived through.
I mean, that's definitely true.
And because we're recording this in advance, he might have gone out of business by the time this comes out. Who fucking even knows?
Who fucking knows?
And if it has, sorry, we don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he ever gets around to that V for Vendetta review. I'm really itching for it.
If only.
Hopefully it'll come next time. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.